You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Well, they thought they were going to have an easy day over there today, but not so fast, Mr. Speaker.
What is it going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior?
And now, here's your host, Tony Clement.
Okay, welcome to The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast, the official podcast of the Conservative Party of Canada. I'm your host, Tony Clement, Member of Parliament for Parry Sound Muskoka, and with me right now is the MP for Selkirk, Interlake, Eastman, the Honourable James Bazin. James, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Well, he's our Conservative defence critic, of course, and we've got a lot of issues that pertain to the defence file. First of all, with respect to our defence minister, Harjit Sajjan, obviously he twice publicly claimed that he was the architect, in quotation marks, of Operation Medusa, one of the largest battles in which Canada has ever participated. So talk a little bit about the controversy there and why it's important to raise these issues.
Well, for some time, I've been concerned that the minister has just a casual relationship with the truth. And it goes back to a lot of his misleading comments that he's made in the House as it relates to danger pay of our troops that are fighting ISIS, as it relates to the fabricated capability gap with our fighter jets. And he's also gone as far as you know, lied about whether or not our allies, particularly Iraq and the Kurdistan regional government, were happy with us pulling our CF-18s out of the fight against ISIS, which was proven that they were quite upset and wanted us to keep the jets there. So, you know, he's been lying on those fronts. But then for him to go out and embellish his own service record in Operation Medusa, one of the largest battles that Canada has been in since World War II, while we were fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan, and to call himself the architect wasn't a misspeak. We know that he said this originally back in 2015 in an interview when he was campaigning to be the Liberal member of Parliament.
This was during the general election.
Yeah, it was during the general election. He was actually still in uniform. He was still a lieutenant colonel at that time. And then he said it again April 16th in Delhi on an official mission there, reaching out to the government of India. But he not only said it, he actually wrote it himself into his speaking notes. And it was checked against delivery. So this was approved by his office. It was his official speaking notes.
So this was not a mistake or a slip of the tongue or anything
like
that. No,
and so for him to say it's a mistake even is more infuriating for our veterans and for those that are currently serving. And they have a term for this, calling it stolen valor, because he's trying to take credit for something he didn't do in a battle.
Tell us a little bit more about, you know, this is obviously not only about him misleading Canadians, but it's also about the culture within our fighting forces. And tell us what the impact of stolen valor is when you take credit for something that wasn't yours.
Well, it happens often. And, you know, if you wear medals, for example, that you didn't earn, you can actually go to jail for that. That like impersonating an officer, you know, it's a violation of the criminal code. But under the National Defense Act, under the ethos of our Canadian military, they are quite clear that, you know, you don't go around and polish up your own ego. And it is frowned, it's not just frowned upon, you can be court-martialed for stealing valor. And anytime that you try to create credit when it's a team effort and you try to personally benefit from it is something that is taken extremely seriously by our troops. And so they find this actually very demoralizing. And you tie that into how the minister has lied about how he's treating our troops in Kuwait that are in the fight against Afghanistan and doing the intelligence side of the business, not getting their danger pay. They are demoralized. And so this is starting to, you know, really resonate within our troops, our fighting force, our frontline soldiers, and they don't trust him anymore. And how is he supposed to lead when he doesn't have the trust of the military he's in charge of? How does he actually continue to push out his defense policy when Canadians no longer believe him? And, you know, as you've seen on the internet, he's turned into a laughingstock. And how's that going to resonate when he goes and meets with our allies in Brussels later this month to talk about defense policy?
We're talking with James Bazin, MP. He's the Conservative defense critic. You've called on the defense minister, Sajjan, to resign as a result of this. And it couldn't come at a less opportune time, really, because he's trying to lead this new defense policy initiative. Meanwhile, they're cutting the budget of the Defense Department. So talk a little bit about how this impacts on his ability to do his job on behalf of Canada and Canadians.
Tony, I think you and I agree that he hasn't been an effective minister right from the get-go. He's more of a figurehead than actually someone that's there advocating on behalf of the Canadian Armed Forces. And so the first two budgets the Liberals have rolled out has cut $12 billion from future spending. Defense analyst David Perry said, you know, when you take away money from the military, you know that the defense policy coming down the road is going to be less than ambitious. So any talk that they're going to do and trying to spin that this DPR, the Defense Policy Review, is good for Canada, is good for our military, is just going to be spin. And it's not going to at all provide the resources, the training, and the equipment that our troops need on the ground to do the job that Parliament often calls upon them to do. And more importantly, you know, this again comes down to his own credibility. His reputation is tarnished and damaged beyond repair. How is he going to go out there and sell it and people aren't going to believe him?
No, it's a very good point. Obviously, the Liberals have been stonewalling in Parliament on this issue, but it's not going to go away, particularly when he rolls out the new defense policy.
Yeah, it's all going to be deferred spending. It's all going to be, you know, something way down in the future, because we know that $12 billion they kicked down the road now for two decades. So that doesn't make for a modern fighting force.
We're going to move gears for the last couple of minutes. Talk about the Magnitsky Law. Liberals have just announced that they are going to be pursuing this, which is good news. I know you are at the forefront of advocating for this. So tell our listeners a little bit about Magnitsky and why this is important.
Well, first of all, I have to give credit to Senator Raynell Andrechek. This is her private member's bill that she started over in the Senate. I had a similar bill in the House, but we started a parallel system, and her bill actually is the best of all the versions that we've seen of the Magnitsky Law over the years, because it really dives down into human rights abusers as well as corrupt foreign officials. But Sergei Magnitsky was a freedom fighter in Russia, working on behalf of Bill Browder, did uncover the largest tax fraud
in Russian whistleblower regime there.
$227 million that Putin and his cronies were stealing from Bill Browder, but they were actually stealing from the taxpayers of Russia. And because of his efforts, he was wrongfully convicted, imprisoned, tortured, and killed in Moscow in 2012. And since then, Bill Browder, who's also a human rights fighter, going out there and advocating for governments to make sure that corrupt Russian officials and other, you know, officials around the world can't use their legally garnered monies and hide them in offshore accounts, including here in Canada. And Bill Browder just uncovered that over 30 banks were used in the last 5 years by Russian shell companies to push through over $20 million.
So this is not a theoretical thing. It's happening right now in Canada. The proceeds of crime, yep, by corrupt government officials overseas is happening right here in Canada, and the effort is to dial up the sanctions on these things?
Yeah, travel ban sanctions and making sure that Canada isn't a safe haven and isn't being used. We want to make sure that the Department of Foreign Affairs, the RCMP and CSIS, has the resources to actually go out there and freeze these accounts and make sure these individuals never enter our country. So it is a challenge, but although I'm glad that the Minister Freeland has agreed to the Magnitsky law, we have to continue to work hard to ensure that it passes. We know that Department of Foreign Affairs is not crazy about it, because as Stefan Dion used to say, I want to talk to Russia. You know, right. We have a policy of responsible conviction, which all translates into appeasement. Right. And we don't appease dictators and despots. We have to go out there and make sure that those that are carrying out the wishes of their leadership and benefiting financially from it by being human rights abusers, by being corrupt in their own governments, are held to account. And this is the way Canada can do it and join the rest of the international community
that's already made the steps forward. We're the outliers on this, so we're catching up to UK, USA, yep, that kind of thing. Well, listen, congratulations to Senator Andrechek for spearheading that in the Senate. Thank you to you for spearheading it in the House of Commons. We've been talking to James Bazin, a member of Parliament and our Conservative defense critic. Thanks for joining us on Blueprint.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative podcast. Find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada. Search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.